in times like these. Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at 15. Amen. "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." In times like these, what are the Christians, disciples of Christ, to do? I want to mention five things from our text. First of all, we need to be a people of faith and love. Paul recognized in his prayer for the Ephesian church, he says that "I have heard of your faith, but your faith is in the Lord Jesus. And I've also heard of your love for all the saints." In times like these, let us be a people of faith. Let us be a people of love. When you think in terms of faith, it is a conviction of truth. It is a conviction of that which is true. It is a conviction that God exists, that he is the creator and he is the ruler of all things. He provides and he sustains all things. It is a total reliance upon him. A people of faith know that there is a God. People of faith know that without faith it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. We are people who walk by faith and not by sight. We are people who know that our faith must be predicated on the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God must be the center of our reliance and our belief. Regardless of what happens, God must always be the person upon whom all of us rely. Amen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths." We need to be a people of faith, but we also need to be a people of love. We have discussed love. We have turned it inside out. We have surely gained a great understanding of love. This love is a goodwill toward men. It is being benevolent toward men. It is performing the highest good toward all, and especially doing so unconditionally. We must not make our decisions on conditions. We must not treat people if they meet certain conditions. The true child of God in times of uncertainty must always remain true to the behavior that God has called us to, and that is that you and I must abide in love. Now abide in these three: faith, hope, and love. But he said the greatest of these is love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. I want to share with you in Romans chapter 12, and I want you to just go with me as Paul concludes or comes toward the conclusion of his great doctrine of faith and begins to give practical admonition. Beginning at verse number 14, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 14, I want you to watch what he says. Bless them which, what? Persecute you. Now, I'm talking about love. He says, bless and what? Curse not. In times like these, we must love, and we must be a people who bless them which persecute us. And we must bless and not curse. Verse number 15, rejoice with them that do what? Rejoice. And weep with them that weep. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of lower state. Don't get caught up with the folk who are the aristocrats. Don't get caught up with the people who are in high rank and high status. You must be a people that condescend to men of lower estate. Identify with the poor. Identify with the disenfranchised. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know it all. Don't get to the point that you got all the answers. Don't ever trust in yourself and be wise in your own conceits. Watch verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. When you and I are involved in times like these, people of God must not render evil for evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. We have to be men of integrity. Watch verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Watch verse number 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Give place unto wrath. Watch this. He says, there's wrath to be done. But he says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. You and I must not get in God's business. Let God deal with wrath. That's the place of wrath. It's in God's hand and not in our hand. Watch the next verse. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, I need you in love to feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Now, when you think in terms of all of the things that is said here, it's a challenge, but it's God depending on his people to do this. For if so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Watch verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. We must be a people of faith, and we must be a people of love. And what Paul has said in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 14 through 21, I pray that we will go back and study it, and we will read it, and that you and I will live. In times like these, not only must we be a people of faith and a people of love, but we must be a people who pray to God. Notice what Paul said in verse number 16. Cease not to give thanks for you. He said, now I've heard of your faith, and I've heard of your love for all the saints. And because of what I have heard, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you. making mention of you in my prayers. Here is a man who is in a Roman prison. Here is a man who has negative circumstances, but he has a prayer life. And he says that I don't ever stop praying and giving thanks for you. And he says, when I have my prayer, I make mention of you in my prayer time. When we look at this idea of him ceasing not to pray, the idea suggests, number one, that one must believe and acknowledge that God is. But one must not only know that God is, but one must beseech God. One must acknowledge God. One must be thankful to God. One must do so with regularity. It's not just when we get in trouble. It's not just in the bad times. We've got to learn to pray to God and depend on God in a manner whereby it is regular and it is persistent. If I had time, and I know that I don't, but I would show you from Acts chapter 1 and verse number 12, I will show you that there was regularity in prayer among the disciples. When Jesus left to go back to heaven, the disciples left that scene, went back to Jerusalem, and they went up into an upper room, and there they were involved in prayer. In chapter 3 of Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1, Peter and John went up to the temple in order to pray. Here were men, here were disciples who were involved in prayer on a regular basis. They didn't just pray to God when things were wrong, but they depended on God and they acknowledged God and they were thankful to God Almighty. Pray without ceasing is what Paul will say in Ephesians 5 and verse number 17. But what I like about this passage in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 17, he says what we ought to pray for specifically. He says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When you pray to God and when you depend on God, you will begin to recognize and know that God is real. You will know the character of God, and you will learn that the character of God is a character that you can trust and you can depend on. Now, prayer is that connection that you and I have with God. And he says, what I need you to do is do that, because wisdom and revelation or inspiration in God comes through the avenue of prayer. And not only does he pray that we may know God, but he also says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, watch him now, not only should you know God more intimately, but that ye may know the hope of his calling. That is, I believe, the fact that you and I are his inheritance. You and I are considered his riches. You and I must understand that it is all about you and I who are involved in obedience to him, who are involved in becoming worshipers of him. You and I must understand that God takes great pleasure in knowing that I got a people who believe in me. I got a people who trust me. I've got a people who follow me. I've got a people that speak for me. And when you know that, you know that God has an inheritance. And here's the beauty of it, is that you got to transform your inheritance or understand that you are God's inheritance. But his inheritance is in his glory. It's not on this earth. We've got to get to the point that we finally get out of thinking that this world is going to be made better. This world is not going to be made better. The Bible said we will wax worse and worse. And if we don't get in our mind that we are on our way out of here and God has a better place for us, that we'll never be able to adjust to the wrongs and to the atrocities that are happening in this world. I know where I'm going. I know my name is in heaven. I know God has reserved for me a place in heaven. Somewhere up there, my name is there. And so whatever happens, I know that there is a great calling on my life. And that calling is not here on this earth, but that calling is heaven. And therefore, when you pray to God, God, help me to get out of this world. Help me to stop depending on this world. You and I must understand that in times like these, that there is a place. Somebody ought to say amen. There is a place. There is a place where they'll never be able to plant a bomb. They'll never be able to come in and break in. Oh, Lord have mercy. I done got happy now. Amen. Because I know I'm telling the truth. You don't even know what's going to happen to your life. You don't know what's going to happen to your children. Listen. Whenever you live in this life, we are all susceptible to everything. But this one thing I know. Well, all right, let me move on. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. Upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Don't you think you'll receive anything from the Lord? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Number 3, not only must we pray to God in times like these, not only must we be a people of faith and love in times like these, but we must know the power that is available to the saints. I'm telling you, we got a power. He said you need to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, what? Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. You can't compare to the power of God. When you really know the power of God, God tried to demonstrate it to us when he brought Jesus to the world. Well, how much power do you have? I got power to turn water into wine. I got power to heal a young man 20 miles away, and I don't even have to be there. I got power to take a man who's been lame for 38 years and give him his legs back. I got power. Now, if you think that's something, look at my power from the very beginning. Go back to the children of Israel. The children of Israel ought to tell you that I got power. I brought them out of Egypt, didn't I? I opened up the Red Sea for them, didn't I? I drowned the enemies, didn't I? I gave them bread from heaven. I gave them water from a rock. Well, what kind of power is that? But if you think that's something, my own son went down into the grave. And I had enough power to resurrect him. I got him up out of that grave. And not only did I get him up, but I set him on my own right hand. He said, that's the power we have. And see, we should never go through time like this believing that we don't have the power to really respond to our situation. We don't cower. You're not afraid to go anywhere. You don't bury your head in the sand. Listen, man, there's a power that God has given the saints. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, well, I'm getting too long. You know, here's what I like. All of us don't have the same status in life. And somebody said, well, Brother Gabe, you're a preacher. And that's why you say you got all of this hope and all this expectation. I'm not all of that. But I'm telling you, the power that I'm talking about is the power for everybody. See, in my house, I got a toaster. I got a refrigerator. I got a refrigerator. I got a microwave oven. And I got a can opener. But the only way that electric can opener is going to work, that refrigerator is going to work,
that microwave is going to work is that they got to plug it into the same source. Now, once you connect to the power, the can opener doesn't start refrigerating. It does what it's supposed to do. All of us are connected to the power. And just because you sit where you sit and you feel that maybe I'm not where I need to be, all you need to understand is that God has given you power to be able to respond to life's situation right where you are. Just plug into the power. Plug into the Spirit of God. And then number four, acknowledge in times like these, you need to acknowledge the position of Christ. Now, I need you to pay attention to this, and I need you to buckle your seatbelts because we may get a little turbulent going through here. But watch this now. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Watch that. What did he do? I'm talking about his position. He raised him from the dead. And what did he do? He what? Set him on his what? Come on, say it with me. He did what? Now that is a position of what? Honor. And it's a position of rank. Watch this. Now watch what else he says. Far above all what? Above all what? Principality and what? And what? And what? And what? Not only in this what world, but also in that which is the what? And that put all things under his what? And gave him to be the head over what? To the church. All right. Now, Brother Gibbs, what is it that you want us to see? What I want you to see in times like these, I know I need to hasten, so I'm going to have to skip some of these things. But I want to get to one that I really believe that you can really, really benefit from out of all of the passages that I have here. Let me sum them up this way. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to have to really slow down so you can get what I'm saying. The position of Christ is above all principality, power, dominion, and might. His name is far above all of these, not only in this world, but in the world to come. But if you think that government is not ordained of God, then we ought to rethink that thing. Jay, are you listening to me? Government is ordained of God. And our obedience to government is commanded. I think I need to take, I better put some scripture on that. Romans 13:1. Come on, come on, come on. I guess you say, well, Brother Gibbs, you should have started here. Well, if Paul had, I would have. Let every soul be subject unto the what? Now wait. I'm dealing with power. I'm dealing with authority. Are you with me? God said, let what? How many souls be subject unto the what? For there is what? Watch this. But there is no power but of whom? The powers that be ordained are ordained of God. Verse number two. Whoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. How quiet now. Drop down to verse 7. Well, go back to verse number 3. Go back to verse number 3. I may go a little longer. I may go a little longer this morning. But I feel like I need to. For rulers are not a terror to what kind of works? But to what? Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is what? And thou shalt have what? Not only will you have praise of God, but you have praise of government. We as children of God, in times like these, we can never say that I will not be a participant in government and I will not obey government. Whether you live in Russia, whether you live in China, wherever you live, God has ordained government and he expects his people, his children, to obey it. Y'all real quiet now. Verse number 7. Render therefore to all their what? Tribute to whom tribute is what? Don't stop paying your taxes. Custom to whom custom. Fear to them. Fear to whom fear. In other words, fear them. Respect them. You respect the police officer. You respect the judge. You respect authority. We as children of God in times like these, we cannot be a people who fight against government. Verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love. Now watch this. But to love one another. Now he gets back to the main law. Is to love one another. And loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now I want to know, which law is he talking about? Come on now, talk back to me. Which law is he talking about? Is he talking about the law of the land? Or is he talking about his law? My law is a law of love. Respect. Brother Gibbs, I hear you well. But do you know what the Supreme Court just did? Well, let me help you with that. There is no power. There is no authority above the authority of Christ. He's above all principalities, all power, all dominion. He's over all might. He's head over all things to the church, which means that government never supersedes his authority, his power. If you got to choose between government and the power of Christ, you always choose the power of Christ. The question came in Acts chapter 5. Authority told the apostles, now we command you, do not teach in this man's name anymore. I'm in Acts 5, verse number 28. But you filled Jerusalem with his doctrine. And you intend to bring this man's blood down on us. Then Peter and other apostles, this is where I want you to see. Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than what? Now here's where I'm going to end with this point. I'm going to conclude with this. I'll bring to a conclusion. Man can never pass a law that'll be above the law of Christ. You don't dish government. You don't say that I'm not going to obey. But whenever the law of man is contrary to the law of God, you and I are obligated. Obligated. To obey God rather than men. We've got to. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Five men on a Supreme Court cannot overrule. His name is above every name. His court is above every court. And five men on a court cannot rule and make something lawful that God has not made lawful. Now, I started out by trying to help us understand that government is what? Ordained of God. Now, you don't just throw government out. But when it comes to this, there's one thing I like about our government. We have freedom of speech. We can practice our religion. The laws that they have mandated does not take away our right to preach and teach the doctrine of Christ. Now, you ought to praise God for that. But I'm going to tell you, just stay tuned. Just stay tuned. I mean, it's going to come down to whether you and I want to really serve God or not. Now, I'm not an advocate against government. I'm not one who will go out there picketing against the government. To be honest about it, I could care less about that flag. I'm just talking about me. Because that flag has nothing to do with the cross of Jesus. Sometimes that other flag doesn't even give you your rights. Many of these things are flying under the banner of a flag that you and I cannot obey, cannot be. Oh, Lord, my time is gone. Well, I'm going to end with this. I thank God for what God has ordained, but God will never let it overrule him. I know I'm going on YouTube and everywhere else. some of y'all quote me and don't quote me right, and you put it all out there on the internet. I said, I ain't say that. But that's all right. That's all right. Because I know who I am and I know what I believe. And I'm all right about what I believe. I got to end with this. Matthew 19:1-6. Come on, Matthew 19:1-6. I didn't get to point number 5. Let's read this together. Now I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about the Supreme Court. I'm talking about Jesus. And it came to pass that Jesus had finished these sayings. He departed from Galilee, came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. Watch what they ask him. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. There. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now you hear me well now. He's not even talking about homosexuality or a gay movement. He's talking about divorce. Now hear me well. Some even here have not abided by this law. I'm on my way out anyway. Amen, amen, amen. But I might as well go out telling the truth. See, we want to deal with one particular thing, but God deals with it all. Got some liars up in here. Some whoremongers up in here. Tell bearers. Can't wait to go tell it. Gossipers. That's what I'm talking about. I'm almost through. Which made them, watch this. Have you not read that? He, God, which made them, talking about losing weight. When? Made them what? Now that's God's law. Supreme Court can't touch that. Can't overrule that. He didn't make Steve and John. He didn't. Next verse. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father. Wait. Before he even gets to man. A man got to leave. You can't even be here unless you got a what? You'll never leave if you don't have a what? He ain't talking about adoption either. Now, I think adoption is good. But even they adopt children that have a what? And shall cleave unto his what? Now, that wife there in the Greek is female gender. Amen. Yes, sir. I know I'm going over time, but I feel like I got to deal with it. We are people who are going to have to be a people of faith, a people of love, and we don't go out here with the wrong attitude, but we go out of here with the truth and loving folk. We love everybody. Yes, sir. Amen. If you can love the whoremonger, then love the person who's caught up in. Now that law never changes. You don't look down on folk. They walk in, we gotta love them. You don't start. Mm-mm, I ain't sitting next to them. Mm-mm. Y'all don't do that kind of foolishness. They twain should be one flesh. The sexual union, that's what one flesh means. The sexual union is between a man and a woman. If you ever become one flesh with anything other than the opposite sex, or if you become one with someone of the same sex, it's an abomination to God's law. Now here's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to take what I just said and cut out everything else I said. But play the whole tape. Verse number, wherefore they are no more twain, but what? Now here's where I'm going to end. What therefore God hath joined together, let every man keep his hand off of it. Supreme Court, you're in territory that you have no business. We praised them when they approved Obamacare. And then the very next day, bam! I got to quit. It's all right. I'll be back. I just got to tell the truth. And people need to know the truth. My final point is we got to be the church. Now, we got to be the church. I wish I had time, but I don't. But I'll finish it. Did I say that in the wrong spirit? I don't ever want to come across as arrogant, mean-spirited. That's not my intent. But I do get passionate about what God has said. And we got too many young people who are sitting here that if we don't teach them right and tell the truth, they'll be led astray. It's my duty to tell the truth. And I couldn't wait another week. I had to deal with it today. Take what I said on my last point and put it in the context of everything that I have said. And it will help you to know how we must respond in times like these. May God bless you. You've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Know that he is far above all principalities, power, dominion, and might. And that his name is above every name. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. Oh, he's so far above everybody until there's absolutely no way that we could ever compare anybody with him. We cannot compare with his power. His power is in a class all by itself. And I pray that you give your life to him. Will you repent of your sin? Will you confess him to be the Son of God? Go down with him in the water of grave of baptism with his Father, remission of sin. May God help you to do that. Will you come? Will you come right now while together we stand and sing? Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Cast no, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?